Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Brian Custer in for Greeny. I thought I was bringing the swag today, but we got real swag today.
Look what we pulled from Philly.
Oh, yes.
I'm here in New York City.
It's coming.
On the set of Get Up.
You know it's coming.
And it's a pleasure and an honor to be here.
You know it's coming.
But I'm here to tell you that the Philadelphia Eagles are the best team in the NFC East. Nobody likes us, but we don't care, man.
Let's get a little controversial. Get up this morning. It's all about the money.
I always agree with Swaggu.
Getting Aaron Rodgers is trying to get the Jets out of prison. Just like I am right now with this green screen, it looks like I'm in a cement block right now.
I can spin anything.
Hey!
That's bad.
No longer can athletes submit their applications in crayon. Your application to UConn was submitted in hot magenta.
My freshman football season, I got a 0.67 GPA.
You outperform predictions.
If we only were smart enough to all get into Duke.
That's a mountain too high to climb.
Oh. Lock him up.
Locked up.
Lock him up.
Oh, I love that graphic. All right, let's get into a little eye candy, shall we? WGC match play. Scotty Scheffler. Whoa. In the par 5, 576 yards, right? 576
Booyah.
Yards is this hole. Par 5.
23.
Look at how
yards.
Long it's going.
What?
Yes.
Now,
yes, you said it. 423 yards.
Path. Rory McIlroy had a drive that didn't need the car path and went 375 yards with those stealth drivers.
Wow.
That is absolutely ridiculous.
And look at what he does after. I'm just going to have a cookie. It's like a day at the office for me.
It's a protein bar. This is a sport, Ryan.
Oh, I mean,
protein bar.
The protein bar. Which is like a cookie.
The protein,
a protein bar.
That's why he hit it so far, because he was eating protein bars.
Which is basically a cookie.
But he didn't just pop by and get a cookie
Come on,
and some
Jeff.
Popcorn.
Protein
I don't know,
bars maybe the double much, tree's nearby and he got the hot chocolate chip.
It's a sport,
guys. All right, let's get back. Let's welcome back to Get Up. We're coming to you live from the Seaport. We're brought to you by Grey Goose. So good to see you this morning. Jeff Darlington, RG3 here with me. Tim Hasselbeck joining us in a second, but first we're talking college basketball and the game of the night. 3-seed Gonzaga taking on 2-seed UCLA. Under a minute to go in the second half. UCLA down 6. Jaime Jaquez Jr. lays it in, plus the foul. He had 29 points in this one. Flex, young man. And then Amari Bailey flexing from 3. Nails the clutch 3 right there. UCLA takes a 1-point lead with just seconds to go. So next Gonzaga possession, Tiger Campbell. Next UCLA, there you go. Oh, look at that, man. Julian Strother, excuse me, the deep 3, nails that one. Here's the possession where Tyler Campbell has it stolen. Ooh. And so UCLA, they got a foul. Huge turnover right there. So Gonzaga, they make 1 of 2 free throws. Final chance for UCLA. They give it to Campbell. What can he do? Not going to happen. And Gonzaga defeats UCLA 79-76. They advance to the Elite Eight. Tough loss for UCLA. Now, on to the performance of the night. Michigan State taking on Kansas State. Sweet 16. Under a minute to go in regulation. Tom Izzo's team trying to make another Elite Eight. Michigan State down 4. A.J. Hoggard drives, misses. Malik Hall, clean up! Gets the tip in to go, plus the foul. Hall would miss the free throw, so Michigan State down 2. 10 seconds left, same score. Tyson Walker gets it to go. Tie game. Final seconds. Marquise Noel gets to the rim, can't get it to go. We're headed to overtime. Oh, this thing was good. A minute left in OT. Game tied at 92. Watch Noel just directing traffic. Throw it up. Keontae Johnson, throw it down. Gets the alley-oop to go. K-State up 2. Then Noel hitting Ismail Massoud. Knocks down the jumper. K-State's up 3 points. One last chance for Michigan State as Tom Izzo looks on. They're passing the ball around. What can we do? Walker trying to pull up for 3, but Noel steals it. And how about this to cap a game? Steals it, takes it to the rim, gets the lay-in to go as the clock expires, and Kansas State beats Michigan State 98-93. Noel, 20 points, 19 assists. And let me tell you, yesterday was not a fluke for Noel, as in this tournament, he's averaging 21 points and 14 assists per game. That would make him the third player since assists became an official stat in 84 to average 10 and 10 in a single tournament, joining TJ Ford, who led Texas to the Final Four in 2003, and Hall of Fame guard, guess who, Jason Kidd. That's some legendary company right there. And look, you want to talk about some legendary company. Kevin Durant, watching Noel dominate at the Garden last night, he tweeted, "That was a legendary display of controlling a basketball game, Marquise." Robert, you know something about this team, man.
Oh, 100%.
What do you think about this?
Oh, Marquise Noel has become the story of the tournament. And I think a little thing that's being disregarded, not talked about as much, is just the job that Jerome Tang, the head coach of Kansas State, has done. He's a longtime assistant at Baylor University. I know him extremely well. And the number one thing that he does is he allows his dudes, as he calls them, to play free basketball. So when you have Marquise Noel going out there, scoring 20 points, dishing out 19 dimes. Listen to what Kevin Durant said. He controlled that game. Yeah. That last sequence where he threw the alley-oop, him and Jerome Tang were saying, "Hey, are we calling one? Are we calling two?" And Tang is giving him the freedom on the court to overturn his calls. They talked about it after the game. I think it's just been a legendary display by Noel, but also a legendary job of coaching by Jerome Tang.
Yeah, it's just trust. You can see it on the floor, and they're just getting it done right now. We'll see how far they can go in this tournament. Now, speaking of trust, we trust that at some point the Jets and Aaron Rodgers will be united. But let's talk about this, because it hasn't happened yet. And the Jets, they seem to be continuing to pave the way for a smooth Aaron Rodgers landing. They traded Elijah Moore in a package for the Browns with the Browns for a second-round pick. And then they signed Mecole Hardman to a one-year deal. So all the weapons are lining up. Can we just get the deal done? Jeff. Any optimism on when this thing's going to happen?
Well, I can't tell you when it's going to happen, but I can tell you the Jets are getting the house ready. You know,
okay.
Vacuuming, fluffing the couch pillows, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Getting the refrigerator
maybe spinning
stocks,
them on their fingers, whatever they
whatever
can do.
Whatever it takes, getting ready to go to the airport, maybe meet Aaron Rodgers at the terminal, the flowers and whatnot. is this analogy need to keep going? Or can I stop?
No, you stop now. That was good, though. That was really good.
Keep going. Nobody drives one into the ground like me. I just think that this is a situation where the Jets understand that, look, we're going to wind up with Aaron Rodgers at some point here. Let's continue to go down the path of constructing our roster to build it in a vein that looks like what we want Aaron Rodgers to walk into. Yes, Elijah Moore being traded does acquire picks to help them get that trade done. But also bringing Mecole Hardman in there allows them to replace him in the slot. You know, Harry Douglas made a really good point in the last hour talking about how they have the core nucleus of young players and now they fill in around him with experience. So, again, it's all about setting the table for Aaron Rodgers to walk through that door.
So we're talking quarterbacks. Let's welcome in our quarterback, Tim Hasselbeck. And, Tim, look, they signed Mecole Hardman. They have the skill players. I see that. But do they have the right skill players for Rodgers to be successful?
Oh, I think so, because I think one of the best things you can say about Aaron Rodgers is he's got the ability to make guys around him better. It's probably the best thing you can say about any quarterback. And so I think whether, you know, you look at Alan Lazard, who obviously he's familiar with, you look at Mecole Hardman, who obviously has a ton of speed, the running back room, when they're healthy, which we anticipate they will be, is outstanding. I mentioned yesterday the defensive side of the ball is really, really good. And so, you know, those factors all come in. And I know Robert talked about the offensive line and the struggles they had a year ago. That will continue to be something that gets addressed and something that most teams around the NFL are addressing.
All right. So that's the whole point of what the room looks like and how his skill works out.
Right.
Now, once he is signed, when does he need to be there?
Oh, I mean, he needs to be there.
Not signed, but once they trade
him.
Rodgers.
I know what you meant. Smooth, right?
Yeah.
I know what you meant. So for Rodgers and the Jets, he needs to be there April 17th. That's when the offseason program starts. The problem is the Packers are not obligated to facilitate that, to make that happen. They don't have to do right by Rodgers. They don't have to do right by the Jets. It's a different team, right? They don't want them to be as good as they can possibly be. But that's why if I'm Aaron Rodgers and this thing continues to drag out, I'm showing up to the Packers offseason workouts. I'm making sure I'm the QB1. I'm leading the drills. I'm running all the meetings. Just so I'm making it as awkward as possible, which I'm sure he knows a little bit about awkwardness. He just came from a darkness retreat, okay? So he's got no problem there. But when you talk about Rodgers with the Jets, the most important relationship there isn't just the offensive line, but the offensive coordinator, Nathaniel Hackett. They have to build their offense from the ground up. That's why when you see guys like Michael Carter and Breece Hall talking about that running back position, when it comes to play action pass, Rodgers, over the last 3 years with Hackett as his coordinator, 37-1 touchdown to interception ratio. Wow. That's what they have to get back to. It's not just bring in OBJ and you got Garrett Wilson and you bring in Mecole and let's throw it around the yard. No. Run the football, allow Rodgers to not have to carry the team with his arm, but to carry them with his decision-making.
So you think you put your quarterback hat on, you say he needs to be there right away. Tim, what do you think?
Well, listen, he's played a lot of football. He's been around a long time. I think that one of the things that the NFLPA has basically fought for is more time off in the offseason. I think Aaron Rodgers can show up for the mandatory stuff. Look, guys may decide to meet up and throw, and maybe get some time with his receivers. But I think if you look at the situation where Nathaniel Hackett's there, it's an offense that he knows that he can probably coach better or as well as Nathaniel Hackett. And so I don't think that he needs to be there. I think it's a different era of time in the National Football League where, guys can get together when they want to get together. It does not need to be in the team's facility. And Aaron is ready to go with all the terminology and everything that he would get once he gets to the Jets.
It's an interesting point. I want to live in this for a second because I know it's kind of giving you a little agita. What do you think?
You look at what happened last year. Yeah. Rodgers had a lot of change at wide receiver, and he didn't go to the offseason program. And it showed when they showed up in game one and really throughout the whole year. They didn't catch up to each other until about halfway through the season. This case with the Jets is a little bit different, though. It's more new for Rodgers. It's not just that the offense is the same. He's going to a new city with an entire new roster of teammates that he has to be the compass for. And the only way to be the compass is to be in the building. When have you ever been on a ship and had a compass and it was way over there, taking its time, digging all the offseason off? I don't think that that's what Aaron Rodgers needs to do. I don't think that's the best approach because of the young nucleus of players. He has to go in there and show them how to win. And if you're going to keep Zach Wilson, and you're going to say, all right, we're going to give this guy some time to develop. What better way to develop him than to have Aaron Rodgers in the building showing him how to get it done? That's why I think Aaron Rodgers needs to be there ASAP.
A couple seconds left.
Can I settle this as the wedding crusher, marriage counselor? You get some miles, you get some miles. I'll square it away and say that it's going to get done by April 29th and not going to matter. That's when the NFL draft happens. Yeah. The Green Bay Packers are going to get the picks to spend in that draft because they don't want Aaron Rodgers to come in and ultimately make the Jets better, and all of a sudden those draft picks become less valuable. Guys, don't even worry about it. He will be there. He will be with the Jets before the NFL draft.
Okay, he will be there one way or another, say you.
Yeah.
When will that be? We continue to wait.
Yeah.
And that's the drama of the NFL. Well, coming up, speaking of waiting, what do you get when you mix Lamar Jackson, an acquaintance of his, and contract talks? A memo from the NFL. That's what you get. We're going to explain.
Oh,
and
boy.
We got some news that LeBron James could be back before the end of the regular season. Will the Lakers make a deep playoff run, or will he be a royal disruptor? We'll get into that on Get Up.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks.
Only on DraftKings, pick six with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick six not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
When it comes to football, don't pay for a dating app. Just ask RG3 instead. Robert's relationship advice. Isn't that beautiful? All right.
I love the change in tone.
You like that?
That was great.
Yeah. Now, Mike McCarthy and Dak Prescott, they're at a crossroads, Robert. What is your advice to them?
Well, McCarthy and Dak, they got tired of someone else, you know, planning their date nights. Mm-hmm. So they fired their assistant, Kellen Moore. All right. And Mike McCarthy's trying to bring that spark back into the relationship by running the football. So what I would say to them is, you know what? I think it's a good deal, Mike. If you're going to go out on your own terms. Call the plays, run the ball, and let Dak be more efficient.
That's exactly what I told my wife. Let's bring the spark back into our relationship by running the football, babe. Now, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, they're on the rocks. What's your advice to them?
Yes. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, they pulled a, you know, tell them I love you to your face, but then move their stuff out when they're gone. Aaron Rodgers went on a darkness retreat, and when he came out, he realized that the Packers had fallen in love. So what I would say is, guys, don't waste each other's time. Just move on. Allow Aaron Rodgers to go and become discount double jet.
Nice.
And move on with Jordan Love.
By the way, is somebody singing in this background music? I feel like I'm hearing singing. Oh, that's nice. Thanks, Jeff. All right, so there may still be hope for Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. What's your advice to them?
Yes, the relationship advice to the Ravens and Lamar Jackson is, every great relationship is about compromise. You guys were meant for each other. We don't always get everything that we want in life, so there's got to be some compromise. Lamar, you might have to take a little less than you want, and the Ravens, you might have to give a little more than you want, but you can do it. You guys were meant for each other. Lamar Jackson is that city. He is that team. Make it happen.
I love it. A perfect marriage. All right, enough love. Let's talk about the NFL, shall we? They sent out a memo to all clubs. Yeah, let's get that music going. Okay, let's send a memo to all clubs saying that teams wishing to discuss a contract with Lamar should not be dealing with a Florida man named Ken Francis, who is not certified by the NFLPA. Now, listen to this. The memo states in part, as an uncertified person, Mr. Francis is prohibited from negotiating offer sheets, player contracts, or discussing potential trades on behalf of any NFL player. Now, Francis told ESPN's Jeremy Fowler that he has not contacted teams on Jackson's behalf. And by the way, Lamar was quick to respond to someone that was talking to teams on his behalf, responding on Twitter to an NFL Network reporter saying, "Stop lying. That man never tried to negotiate for me." I mean, I can imagine this got to be frustrating for Lamar, but I got to tell you, Jeff, I was so confused by all this. What is happening?
As a Florida man, why do we always have to be singled out because of the state with which we reside? It's like, come on. Just because he's a Florida man, immediately we're not supposed to trust that he can negotiate a contract?
Well, look, I won't comment on that, but no, go ahead. What's going on?
But on a serious note, I don't think that we have to make too much about this. You know, the NFL, by putting out that memo, is simply doing its job. They have an obligation on behalf of the NFLPA to let teams know if this person is NFLPA certified, and he is not. That being said, I think that we need to kind of move beyond what feels like maybe the superficial kind of slop around this situation and really just recognize that the fact that Lamar Jackson even needs to be reaching out to teams to say, hey, guys, by the way, I'm available, seems like probably the best symbolism for what's going on with Lamar right now. Like, his only option right now is the Baltimore Ravens. Look, if this was a situation where he had a lot of people coming after him, we wouldn't be talking about who it was that was communicating on behalf of Lamar. It would just be teams calling Lamar being like, you're the unanimous MVP in this league at 26 years old. We will give 2 first-round picks and do whatever it takes to get you. That is not happening.
Yeah.
That, to me, is the bigger story. And I think that we need to keep our eyes and our focus on the real thing here, which is not just a person who is not NFLPA certified reaching out on Lamar's behalf.
Right, and it speaks to everything that's going around in the situation. So, Tim, what do you make of this?
Listen, Lamar Jackson's a great player. He appears to be a bad businessman. That's all I can really say. Like, and I look at this situation, reminds me a little bit of Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell had the franchise tag placed on him. The Steelers did it again a second year. He did not play football that next year. Look, he maybe was doing it on principle. He maybe thought that the running back position or the position he was playing at the time, because he was catching a lot of balls out of the backfield, was worth more. The moral of the story for Le'Veon Bell was he cost himself well over $10 million by doing that. Like, it was a bad business decision. I get it that guys don't like writing checks to their agents, but in Lamar's situation, he could clearly negotiate down the percentage. There are plenty of agents that would love to represent Lamar Jackson that are more qualified, or that are qualified to do it, that he could negotiate the percentage on. Here's the thing. I just think he's hurting himself. Like, ultimately, I think he's hurting himself by refusing to hire an agent and not relying on people that are in this business. And this idea that a team can't reach out and contact him, I'm just not buying it. You want to find out how to get a hold of Lamar Jackson? Contact the PA. Say, give us Lamar Jackson's number. We want to reach out to him to negotiate with him. I think it's been handled poorly, and I think it's costing him money.
Well, a couple of things there. I think, first of all, like, to compare him to Le'Veon Bell feels premature.
Oh, yeah.
Lamar Jackson hasn't missed any games, nor is he threatened to miss any games. In fact,
he's already cost himself money. But now, if he had an agent, he'd maybe have a deal like Kyler Murray, by the way.
But what if we don't know what his deal is ultimately going to be? What if he continues to hold essentially the Ravens hostage and gets to the point where they say, you know what, we will give you the deal? We don't know exactly where this ends up. So, I mean, I think that before we judge whether this was a proper negotiation or not, I understand he has to follow the rules and have an NFLPA certified person who takes a 2-day seminar and pays $2,500 to contact teams. I get that. And he needs to find a way to make sure that he follows the rules, and he can do so. But ultimately, we are not at the finish line yet.
Yep.
So I just think we went through this exercise with Dak Prescott for 2 years where we scrutinized every step of the way. And at the end of it, when he did get paid, we said, wait, did the Cowboys just overpay Dak Prescott?
Exactly.
I'm not disagreeing with you, Tim. I think that he could benefit from an agent. But I also think that we need to get to the finish line before we look back on this and say that we know exactly. We got to let history play out before we can determine whether it was right or wrong.
I think part of the challenge here is it's taking a long time to get to the finish line. So what do you make of it?
100%. I think that, you know, Tim's fighting for the establishment, and Lamar Jackson is fighting against the machine. That's what he wants to do. He wants to make sure that players can get guaranteed contracts. And if you, as a quarterback, a unanimous MVP, can negotiate a deal by yourself and become the highest paid player at your position, NFL agents do not want that to happen. So we're seeing a lot of quote-unquote agent sabotage because they don't want what Lamar is trying to do to become the norm. And I think it is premature to compare him to Le'Veon Bell. It is premature to judge the situation right now. I've heard multiple people say that he's losing money, but I don't look at it that way. I look at Lamar. He's a very principled young man. He's going to do what he wants to do, how he wants to do it. And if he doesn't have any other offers, then he's going to have to figure out something with the Baltimore Ravens. If he doesn't want to be in Baltimore, he has to come out and say that. Mm. That's up to Lamar Jackson to make that decision. We can't do that for him. But this could all turn out to be the best thing that's ever happened to the league, the best thing that's happened for the players. Every player should be rooting for Lamar Jackson to win.
Tim, I want you to jump in and respond to that, but I also want to ask you to respond to who should be calling them.
Well, I would say this. I am not fighting for the establishment. What I am saying is that guys that have agents, there's a reason they hire them. Everyone probably on the set has an agent for a reason. So, like, the reality is when you do that, it's because they are handling your business and they know the market. They can also kind of help set the market. They can also help kind of talk to other people, kind of find out what's out there. That's one of the reasons why people do it. And so, listen, if Lamar Jackson doesn't want to use an agent, great. Look, if Lamar Jackson wants to say, look, I'm going to play and then I'm going to have the fifth-year option, play through my fifth-year option, play through the franchise tag, make you tag me again like the Cowboys had to do to Dak Prescott, like Washington had to do with Kirk Cousins. Lamar Jackson at that point will make more money over a 3-year period than anybody else in the National Football League if he's willing to do that. What I am saying now is, like, because he has basically decided to go other routes, he does not have a new deal. He has a franchise tag placed on him that would pay him $32 million. I think if he had an agent, he would have been able to do better than Kyler Murray's deal, which I think would have been very good for for him and probably for the league and the quarterbacks in general.
He could have a new deal right now. And if he did sign that deal, we would all applaud and say, wow, Lamar got paid huge by the Baltimore Ravens.
But like you're saying, he's his own man, so we don't know. We don't have that deal yet. We'll see where this goes. All right. So, guys, when we come back, you know, it's fair to say 2022 was not the season most expected from Aaron Rodgers. So why should we think 2023 will be different when it comes to the Jets? If he comes to the Jets, we'll talk about that next.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're back on Get Up, and we're talking about this potential pairing. Should be interesting. Rodgers to the Jets would see him reunite with former OC Nathaniel Hackett. Now, that's a good thing because in the 2 years prior to Hackett arriving in Green Bay, the Packers missed the playoffs both years. Rodgers struggling, missing 9 games and having a losing record as a starter went in. But then Hackett got there 2019, and for 3 years, Rodgers was the man. Back-to-back MVPs, 2020, 2021, threw 111 touchdowns, 13 picks. But then Hackett left last year to go to the Broncos as their head coach, and Rodgers had a tough, tough year. Most interceptions since 2008, posting career lows in yards per game, all while missing the playoffs. So, you look at his weapons right there, and he's got many of them. Jet skill players, you got two potentially reunited, these two in New York. What do they have to work with? You got Offensive Rookie of the Year Garrett Wilson, had over 1,000 yards. They got Mecole Hardman. They got Rodgers' friend Alan Lazard, who was a clear number one in Green Bay last year. It's like the rich get richer in New York, and now they want to get really rich and get Aaron in the door. So, Robert, what specifically, we'll talk about this pairing between Hackett and Rodgers.
Right.
What specifically does Hackett need to do to sort of maximize Aaron Rodgers when he gets there in this stage of his career?
Yeah, he needs to do what he did when he was the offensive coordinator for the Packers for 3 years. Play action pass. Build this offense from the ground up. When Hackett was the coordinator there in Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers had a 37-1 touchdown to interception ratio. I mean, that's unheard of, people.
That's crazy.
So when you talk about this roster that the Jets have right now as we talk, speed of Garrett Wilson and Mecole Hardman, the size of Alan Lazard, and then you have the strength and big playability of Breece Hall along with Michael Carter and Zonovan Knight at running back. All Hackett has to do is go in and make sure he pulls out those attributes from those players and build up their offensive line. That's the biggest issue. In order to do play action pass, you have to run the ball effectively. And their offensive line did struggle in pass protection, but you know what an offensive lineman's best friend is? The running game.
Yeah.
And Aaron Rodgers hasn't seen a scheme that he can't run, hadn't seen a throw that he can't make. And we all know he's one of the most confident guys in the world. I think that's a recipe for success for the Jets.
So, Tim, through your eyes, what do you expect this offense to look like?
I think it'll look like it looked in Green Bay. And, you know, part of the personality of that offense in Green Bay is that Aaron had kind of complete autonomy in terms of what he wanted to get to and when he wanted to get to it. So just because a play came from the sideline doesn't mean that that's what had to be run. You know, it was, look, if I have a run play called, but I like a look out to a wide receiver, I can give him a signal and spit it out to him. And so I think that's really what Aaron will always be looking for, is control and the ability to do things that he's had success doing in the NFL, which he certainly did when he was with Nathaniel Hackett in Green Bay.
You know, that's a really interesting point, Matt. I was just thinking about it. Mike McCarthy, they butted heads on that a lot, where Aaron, he was an offensive-minded coach, and Aaron wanted to do his own thing. Matt LaFleur, offensive-minded head coach, same kind of situation. Matt came in like, we're running this system. Like, you need to kind of get into that. He's going to a Jets team that has a defensive-minded head coach and an offensive coordinator who is his guy, like his hand-chosen guy. You're exactly right. Aaron Rodgers is going to have more autonomy in this offense than he has ever had before. For good or for bad, we'll find out.
So let me take it a step further, Tim. Can he return to that MVP form, Aaron Rodgers, in this offense of the Jets?
I think so. And part of the reason I say that is, look, this last year wasn't a great year. And I think a lot of it's been chalked up to, well, you know, no Devontae Adams and some young wide receivers and things like that. The guy was playing with a broken thumb on his right hand. Mm-hmm. I think that had as much to do with the struggles in Green Bay as anything. And so you look at the three seasons prior to that, he had thrown something crazy, like 136 touchdowns and 15 interceptions. Like a touchdown to interception ratio over that three-year span that we have never seen anything close to, not by Tom Brady, not by Peyton Manning, not by anybody. And so it's why you see him winning, you know, league MVPs. It's why you saw him like doing things like that. And so, look, I think that he is not far from returning to that form. We've literally seen one, you know, season that's off that mark, and it was a season where he was playing with a broken thumb on his right hand.
All right. Does he need to return to that form?
Oh, 100% he needs to return to that form. I don't think that he has to carry the Jets. I think if they do this the right way. But we can't make excuses for Aaron Rodgers that we didn't make for Dak Prescott. Rodgers had a broken thumb, so did Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I will say this. A down year for Aaron Rodgers is a glorious year for other quarterbacks around the league. He threw for 3,600 yards, 26 touchdowns, I believe 12 interceptions. So let's not act like this man fell off a cliff in the same way that Matthew Stafford did last year, throwing for 10 touchdowns and 8 interceptions and getting hurt.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, I cannot wait to see all this come together. I mean, that's why everybody is so excited. Just when will it happen? Come on, Green Bay, Jets, all of you. Get together and make it happen. All right, time now to run the floor. Let's go to the NBA, shall we? Isaac Okoro, let's talk about him first. Game-winning three with 0.7 seconds left to lift the Cavs over the Nets, 116-114. The Cavs' magic number to clinch a playoff berth, is now down to 2. And then you got Paolo Banchero, team-high 21 points, leading the Magic to a 111-106 win over the Knicks, playing without Jalen Brunson due to a sprained right hand. This was the Knicks' third straight loss. Sorry, New York. And in its first game without Paul George, the Clippers beat the Thunder 127-105. Kawhi led the way with 32 points, shooting 13 of 15 from the field. Russell Westbrook, by the way, everybody's maligning him. He had 34 points and 7 assists. Not bad game for him. So when we go to the West standings, here's how it looks. And it's a little crowded. The Clippers move into a tie for fourth with the Suns in the West, and are trying to stay above water in what is just this jumbled standings right now. 4 through 12 separated by 3 games. 7 teams behind the Warriors are within 2 games of them. So, from one LA team to another, LeBron James progressing towards a comeback from his right foot injury. And look, there's increasing optimism that he could return to play a few games in the final week of the regular season. He suffered that tendon injury in his right foot February 26th. And he's resumed on-court activity. Now, LeBron, he responded to a report tweeting, "There wasn't an evaluation today and there hasn't been any target date for my return. I'm just working around the clock every day, 3 times a day, to give myself the best chance of coming back full strength whenever that is. God bless y'all sources. I speak for myself." And we hear you, LeBron. And we also hear Kendrick Perkins joining us now. Kirk, what's your reaction to that tweet?
I mean, he's right, though. Who else could tell you better than about his body than LeBron James? We're talking about a guy that invests $2 million a year into his body. And what he's basically saying is, don't put a timeline on me. I might be back sooner than what is expected, because he punches in the clock so much when it comes down to his recovery. As a guy that shared the locker room with him and played on his team, I was in the steakhouses with him when he was getting treatment around the clock, things to that nature. So all he's saying is that he's working around the clock, which he's not lying, and don't put a timetable on him, because it could be longer or it could be shorter.
Yeah, okay, so now I want to ask you about the chemistry of this team, and I want people to hear me. Any team would love to have LeBron back in any form. He's that good.
Yeah.
But does it concern you at all that LeBron coming back could, in some ways, disrupt or change the chemistry of this team that's gone 6-3 in their last 9?
Oh, Ryan, y'all stopped it. Y'all stopped it. Y'all stopped it. You know you could drop LeBron James anywhere in America and he's going to fit in just fine. I don't care if it's the Wellness Center, LA Fitness, or the YMCA. The thing that I think LeBron James and Darvin Ham notice is that this team goes as far as Anthony Davis takes them. And Darvin Ham has done a great job of making sure he force feed his guy that is in his prime in Anthony Davis. And I think LeBron James is going to realize that when he gets back. Hell, LeBron James knew that when they won the championship down there in the bubble. He came up, he's on record saying, Anthony Davis is going to be our go-to guy. He's going to be our number one option. Long as they stick to that plan when LeBron comes back, the Lakers will be perfectly fine.
Yeah, and you look at, by the way, their final 3 games. We have the schedule up there, Clippers, Suns, Jazz, all in the playoff picture. But you mentioned the bubble. Do you think the Lakers can replicate the run they made in the bubble with a healthy LeBron and a healthy AD?
I mean, have you seen the Western Conference? I mean, with the injuries, the inconsistent play. Right now, I can't really point at one particular team that I could say, you know what, they're going to win. They're going to represent the West for us in the NBA Finals. I had the Clippers, but with Paul George going out, I'm a little suspect about it. But a healthy LeBron with an Anthony Davis, the way that he's playing right now, and what Rob Pelinka did at the trade deadline, with finally adding pieces around him, around those two that actually fit. Jared Vanderbilt is a perfect fit alongside Anthony Davis. High energy guy, don't need the ball in his hands, gonna bring that force, that tenacity, that motor every single night. D'Angelo Russell, great playing off the ball, an underrated passer, could also go out there and get you an efficient 20 points. And then after that, you look at Austin Reeves, right? Mm. The emergence, he's finally getting an opportunity. So when I look at the Lakers and how inconsistent the West has been, yes, they could make a run. Yes, they could make it to the NBA Finals if LeBron and AD is healthy.
I'll tell you what, I would love to see it, as would the rest of America and anybody who watches basketball. Lakers making a run deep into the playoffs would be an incredible thing. Perk, so good to talk to you, man. Thank you so much. And by the way, take a look at the women's.
Brother.
Yeah, man. Let's take a look at the women's Sweet 16 matchups today. Talking about college basketball, Miami, Villanova, 2:30 Eastern. LSU taking on Utah at 5, followed by Colorado squaring off against Caitlin Clark in Iowa, 7:30. And we're capping off the night with Ole Miss and Louisville. Check it all out on ESPN and the app. Well, coming up, there doesn't seem to be much daylight skills-wise between C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young. So what are the Panthers weighing when it comes to the top pick? You'll find out. But in the meantime, little sneaky hembo time for Robert. This one's for you. What was the last draft class that produced multiple rookie Pro Bowl quarterbacks? Oh, I think hembo's trying to do it to us again. It feels obvious. I don't know. He doesn't know either. We'll see when we come back.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
All right, welcome back, and we got a little sneaky hembo time. All right, Robert, you ready for this?
Yep.
What was the last draft class in the NFL that produced multiple rookie Pro Bowl quarterbacks?
Well, hembo's really sneaky, and it's hard, so I'm just going to go with my gut here and say that it was 2012 draft class. I was voted into the Pro Bowl, but I did not go, so there's a chance that someone else got in there.
So you learned from what Vince did yesterday. All right, the answer is... Oh!
Yeah!
Look at you! You
look
got it right!
Well, the reason I said I didn't go because I tore my ACL, so there was a chance that other rookies were able to get in because of that. So, you know.
There you go. Andrew Luck, you, Russell Wilson, making it to the Pro Bowl rookie season. Look, I'm telling you, he's sneaky, but you got him. See, we should have him here today so he can be shamed. All right, so let's bring in Lewis Riddick, shall we? He's with us now. We're going through the Chronicles of Riddick. Lewis, thanks so much for joining us. Lewis, what do you see as Anthony Richardson's ceiling?
Look, for Anthony Richardson, quite honestly, look, he's a guy who could be a Pro Bowler if he gets to the right organization and has the right structure around him and has the right support. He reminds me in terms of his movement qualities and his delivery of a bigger, stronger, faster Donovan McNabb, who was a perennial Pro Bowler during his time with the Philadelphia Eagles. I know he's a guy who many people feel as though he's a wild card right now, that he doesn't really have the resume, you know, that some of these other quarterbacks do. But teams love betting on the upside, and I would bet on this young man's upside. He is just too talented. As far as C.J. Stroud, who we're going to talk about here next, look, I think this was someone who came out in his pro day who had a lot of juice right out of the bat. He was under control. He was in control. They had a lot of music playing. He started throwing the football down the field early and often in his workout, and then he showcased some of his ability to make the layered throws on the second level, both between the numbers, outside the numbers. He showed some of his mobility throwing the football on the move. And quite honestly, I think he really loosened up in this workout and really showed who he is as a person, which to me just absolutely captured the essence of who C.J. Stroud really is. And then lastly, for Bryce Young, when we saw him yesterday in Tuscaloosa, it was all business now down here at Bama. This was a guy who knew exactly what he wanted to get done. He was someone who the ball came out of his hands with a nice tight spiral. You saw the placement. You saw, again, those layered throws outside the numbers, the 15, 18-yard outs. I mean, he was putting them on the money. And then he showcased, you know, a guy who could really get outside the pocket and do those magical type of things that everyone has become enamored with him. And he put that on display yesterday, too. So, look, all three of these guys are going to go so high in this draft. It's going to be really fun to watch.
Indeed, it will be. And look at this. Mel Kiper Jr.'s mock draft 3.0 out now. Still got four quarterbacks among the top five. If that actually happens, it'll be the first time that ever happened in the common draft era. You got Young projected to go number two off the board. C.J. Stroud getting his name called first by the Panthers if you go by Mel's list. All right, let's bring everybody back in. And, Lewis, you've been to both pro days. You've seen C.J. Stroud in person. You've seen Bryce Young in person. What is the difference you see between these two potential top picks here?
Yeah, really, Ryan, it's just a function of size. It's really what we're talking about here is longevity, availability via durability. That's the question that everyone is wrestling with, primarily the Carolina Panthers. Okay, because listen, I stood next to Bryce Young, all right? I stood right next to him. He may have been looking at me like, why is this guy just looking me up and down so often here, you know, during this pro day? And look, he's much thicker in his lower half than maybe people give him credit for. It's not like he's built like some adolescent, okay? But he is a smaller individual, and quite honestly, as a former defensive player, if I was playing against him, and I'm sure everybody in the SEC felt this way too, I would be thinking, look, we need to test whether or not he can handle getting hit over and over and over again. And in the NFL, I don't care what they say about the SEC, as good as the SEC is, the NFL is a different beast, man. The NFL is a different beast, and everybody sitting there with you today knows that. It's an all-star team of SEC players every single week. Getting hit by Aaron Donald, getting hit by Hassan Reddick, getting hit by T.J. Watt is not the same as getting tackled in the SEC. And quite honestly, it's about can you withstand this, not just for 2 years, not just for 3 years, or however long you stay in school, it's can you withstand it for 2-3 contracts? Because when we're drafting you number one overall, that's what we're expecting, a 10, 13, 15-year type of deal. So look, I'm not saying that I wouldn't consider him number one overall. Everybody knows that I kind of prefer the bigger guy. But this is a real concern, and this is a real discussion point for a team like the Carolina Panthers that's going to go all the way up to draft night, I'm sure.
Yeah, indeed. Robert, what do you think? Who would you pick?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that it should be a discussion about his size. I think don't get distracted by Bryce Young's size. Pay attention to what you see on the tape. If we're saying that the SEC is the greatest conference in college football, and he got hit time and time and time again because of the protection that he had, which was inferior to the protection that C.J. Stroud had in the Big Ten, then what are we saying about C.J. Stroud in the Big Ten? Is it just because he's 6'3", 224 pounds, that we don't bring up that conversation? I think we have gotten to a point with Bryce Young that we are so enamored with how tall he is or how much he weighs or what his frame looks like that we're getting away from what we thought about going into this draft process about how special this quarterback class is and how it was led by Bryce Young. So I understand the comparisons because one guy's 5'10", the other guy's 6'3", but at the end of the day, look at the play on the field. Always look at the measurables.
Now listen, I'll answer the question directly. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Tim. Tim, you go first, and yeah.
Listen, I'm drafting Bryce Young. I mean, look. That's my preference. Look, you can only take one of them, so you have to choose. And I would take Bryce Young. Part of and Lewis is right about it's bigger, faster, stronger in the NFL. The quarterback position continues to get protected more and more in terms of where and how you can hit that position. And so I do think it's, I think the stature is important, but I think it's less and less important now in today's game than it ever has been. And it's only going to trend further in that direction, in terms of him being able to play against and around big players. I think he's kind of, in a sense, already proved that he can do that.
Look, you know what? Look, I have no doubts about how he plays the game. This isn't even a doubt about his skill set. I mean, we'd be foolish to sit here and argue whether or not the young man's going to be able to play in the NFL. Okay, I just know this. Okay, when we talk about people getting enamored or we getting enamored when we're discussing quarterbacks, I think we definitely are enamored right now with the off-schedule component of quarterback play. If a quarterback does not make a play outside the pocket and hold the ball longer than 3 seconds, we sit there and go, get him out of here. He's a dinosaur. He doesn't fit in today's game. Well, I can tell you this, quarterback coaches and offensive coordinators, the ones who I talk to say this, it's a third down and 2 minute lead, Tim. That's what it is. And we want guys to be able to create when they need to, but we want them to be able to live inside the pocket. And that's why, like for me, I'm not saying that CJ can't live inside, or rather that Bryce can't live inside the pocket. But I can say this, CJ thrives inside the pocket and he can create when he needs to, as he showed you against Georgia. And he's the bigger player. So for me, when I factor all those three things in together, that's why I lean that way. And that's not to say I wouldn't be sitting there going, but should I take Bryce? Should I take him anyway?
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of this whole thing.
You know, the crazy part about this is one of those guys is going to go number one overall. And very clearly, based on this discussion, the person who goes second is also extremely worthy, which to me makes that draft so intriguing. Oh, yeah. Like, whatever Carolina winds up doing, you're going to see a frenzy to figure out, can we get up to get that other guy, or is he just going to go number two? I mean, you got a 1-2 punch here that we haven't seen in a very long time.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's a good problem to have. Tim, I see you're leaning towards Bryce Young. Lewis, you're leaning towards C.J. Stroud.
It's pretty cool.
Guys, break the tie.
Tim said he'd go with – he'd draft Stroud, I believe.
No, Bryce Young.
Yeah, he's young. Yeah, yeah. So break the tie. Stay out of the Waffle House.
No. I'm chilling in the Waffle House. I might make my decision in a couple weeks, but right now, I don't have to make that decision.
I'm going
to
trade down and acquire two first-round picks.
What do you mean you're chilling in the Waffle House?
Hey, man. Trevor Lawrence told you that Waffle House is hitting after the playoff game, so we in there, baby.
But, Lewis, I'll come to you for the last word on this because you mentioned it, the size, that he's much smaller, that you're going to test him, but that he's thick down low, so that's a good thing. He's built. He's a strong guy, but I'm saying, is he? Do you think we're overblowing the size concerns when it comes to Bryce Young being smallish and not being able to handle it in the NFL?
No, I don't think we're overblowing it. It's a real concern. Look, I mean, when you're picking number one overall, you want your guy to be around for 10, 15 years. So you start, look, you obviously scrutinize this thing to a degree that you wouldn't scrutinize it otherwise, and rightfully so. It's not to say that you're trying to, like, weed him out. I'm just saying it's a great discussion point and you have to have it.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. And this is going to be a discussion that's going to keep going up until draft night. All right, guys, thanks so much. And now, when we come back, we're going to talk about this guy. Or first, Dave's going to talk about him too. Marquise Noel grew up in Manhattan. New York, plays out of Manhattan, Kansas. Last night, king of both of them. Is he the best player in the tournament? Stephen A. and friends are going to talk about that on First Take.